that you have need of. There's power, there's salvation, there's healing. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. We need you.
Hallelujah. Yes, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that name, Lord. We thank you for that name, that revelation of your name, Jesus. We know who you are, and we can feel you, your presence here. God bless you, and we're so thankful you've joined in with us tonight. We're getting right into the Word. I'm going to be speaking to you about the power and the authority in Jesus' name. There is a name, and we know that name. We just sung about it. We heard about it already, and that name is Jesus. Amen. A name is personal, and with a name comes identity. There are times when we may have to show a form of identification to prove who we are. If you've ever been to the hospital, you'll find out very quickly. There'll be multiple times the doctors, nurses, technicians will come in and check your wristband to make sure that you are who you say you are. If you go to the DMV, you're going to find out that you're going to have to bring proofs of identification to show that you are who you are. A name can also signify authority. A person with authority may delegate his authority to a representative, and this is usually done for legal purposes. When my dad became ill, he gave me a durable power of attorney for health care, and in that document, I was listed to make decisions for him if he was no longer able to make those decisions for himself. I became his representative. We know a name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus. The Word of God gives us proof of who he is, and in the Word of God, it documents who he is. He is the Lamb of God that was slain for the sin of this world. He took on our sins on that cross. Jesus has given us his power of attorney, and we need to understand and identify who we are in Christ Jesus. We are his representatives. We can be confident that if we are presenting the interests of the kingdom of God, we will have all the backing of God's power and all of his authority. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything we say and everything we do should be done as a representation of Jesus Christ. Acts 8:1, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He has given us this power to become a more effective witness for Jesus Christ. But the Holy Ghost power also includes courage and boldness and insight and ability and authority. We just celebrated the resurrection of Christ, and it's so fresh upon us thinking about his death, the burial, the resurrection. And because of that, we know him through salvation. Salvation is available to us through the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:10-12. Be it unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him stand here before you whole. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we know that when we call on the name of Jesus, he comes right to where we are, and we can receive him when we call on that name. Now, in the upper room, after Jesus arose from the dead and then he ascended, he told his disciples and he told them to be prepared that he was sending a promise, and they could receive that promise. So they were gathered together, 120 of them in the upper room, and there came a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. They began to speak in other tongues, and individuals outside began to hear their own language, different languages, and they wanted to know what's going on here, what's happening, and how can we be saved. And Peter, with the Holy Ghost boldness, Acts 2:38-39, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. When I think about what Jesus did to me, for me, and when I think about how he died and he took those stripes and he suffered, I can't even in my human mind imagine it all, but it gives me such a thankfulness that while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. While he was on the cross, our family members was on his mind, and he died and he took all of our sins and he bared all of our sins on that cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I pray that in your home, you're feeling the same power that we're feeling right here. And I pray that if you're feeling that Holy Ghost power and you have not received the Holy Ghost, that you'll lift those hands up and you'll call on the name of Jesus Christ, because he is working and he will not pass you by. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We must be born of the water and the Spirit, or we cannot see the kingdom of God. So we understand this isn't just a choice to get into heaven. The Word of God says we must be born of the water and the Spirit if we want to see the kingdom of God. And once we've obeyed Acts 2:38 and received the Holy Ghost, like this Word says, something grips our heart. And we see our family. Maybe we're the first ones saved, but we see our family members, and all of a sudden we want them to be saved. Our extended family members, our neighbors, our co-workers, that we want them to share in this same gospel that we have. As I was reading the Word, I was reading about Paul and Silas, and they were talking to the jailer, and they told him, not only when you believe, not only will you be saved, but your household will be saved. And they understand, and they took it very seriously for that household unit to be saved. I'm encouraging you tonight, pray for your family. Pray for your family. If there's ever been an awakening, it is right now. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Pray for your family. Keep calling on the name of Jesus, the power that's in that name of Jesus, the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Call on him when you pray for them. Refuse to look through your natural eyes. We must see through the eyes of the Spirit. Because if we look through our natural eyes, we're not going to see it right. But when we look through the Spirit eyes, we're going to see it. Because no one is too far from God. I don't know about you, but sometimes we'll think of individuals and we'll think, wow, they're so far from God, and I prayed for them for so long. God, are you hearing my prayer? But when we can pray in the Spirit and we get that power and the authority in the name of Jesus, we'll start declaring salvation for our families. Hallelujah. 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 I want to share this testimony with you. I feel like God's laid it on my heart. When my husband was filled with the Holy Ghost, he was in the Army. And as far as we know, he was the first one that was saved in his family as far as the biblical plan of salvation, obeying Acts 2:38. And we prayed for his family so many times, but they really didn't want to hear it. And my father-in-law actually said, Mike, Sue, I don't want to hear about God. Don't talk to me about God. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to hear it. So we made the decision that we would be representatives by the way we lived. We would go to Tucson, Arizona once a year. And we knew how important it was for them, our family, to see Jesus in us. So for 15 years, we prayed for our family, my husband's family, the McGuires. And one night, early in the morning hours, we got a phone call from my husband's baby sister, Tammy. And she called and was hysterical. We couldn't hardly even understand her. And she said, Daddy's had a stroke. Doctors say he's not going to live. Mike, bring your suit, because we want you to go ahead and preach his funeral when you come. Well, of course, we began to pray. It was early in the morning. We called Pastor Williford, and we asked him to pray. And our heart was, we wanted him healed, but we wanted him saved. So we were on the airplane headed for Tucson the very next morning.
And on that way there, my husband was crying, and he said, honey, so many of your family members know Jesus. So many of your families do. Not one of my family members had the Holy Ghost. And I just spoke with authority, and I said, Mike, that's going to change on this trip. That's going to change. So we got to Tucson, Arizona, and we walked in that VA hospital. And, of course, my father-in-law saw us, and his heart rhythm started going really high, and they made us leave because he knew when he saw us that he was dying. He knew he wouldn't have just came in like that. So they happened to have church going on that night, and my husband and I went on to Brother Connor's church in Tucson, Arizona, and Brother Connors was alive then, and he was preaching a soul winning message. And I remember where I was standing, and I was praying for my father-in-law, and I was praying, God, one more chance, Lord. Just open the door. Let us speak your name. Let us talk about you, God. And as I began to pray, I saw a vision, and I saw my father-in-law go down the wheelchair in his wheelchair in that church. And I saw my mother-in-law there and family members there. And I got so excited because I knew he was not going to die. God, let me see in the spirit what he was going to do. So as soon as church was over, Brother Connors came and greeted us. And I told him and my husband both, I said, God gave me a vision. My father-in-law is not going to die. God's going to spare his life, and he's coming to this church. So when we went on to the hospital the next day, God had touched my father-in-law. He was doing a little bit better. We got to stay in there. And we were thinking, how are we going to bring this subject up? How are we going to talk to him about Jesus? As soon as we walked in there, I'll never forget it as long as I have my memory. My father-in-law pointed his finger, and he said, Mike, 19 years ago, you told me you saw the light. What about it? I've been watching you. He said, I said to myself, I give him a year, and he'll be back to all of his old ways, all those things he used to do. 19 years ago, Mike, what about it? Hallelujah. All things become new. We're a new creature in Christ. We had no idea that he was doing what we had prayed for God to do, and let us be that light. And the beautiful thing is my husband starts praying with my father-in-law, and God starts touching him, and there's a veteran in the bed right next to my father-in-law. His name was Lee, and he pulled through his legs over the side of the bed, and he said, what does Jesus have for me? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus has power of the Holy Ghost to be an overcomer, and he has given us authority in his name. And so I went over there and started praying with Lee, and I said, Lee, oh, Jesus loves you, and he has so much for you. God started working on Lee's life, and my husband got him out on a pass, and we took him to Brother Connor's church. Lee and Jerry, his wife, my husband baptized them both in Jesus' name, and they both received the Holy Ghost, and they both had a walk with the Lord until God took them. So I'm so thankful. This promise is unto us and our children and all that are afar off. I pray that you pray over your family members and believe. Believe, because there is power. There's power in declaring in the spoken word. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord, he is Lord, and he is Lord of our hearts. One of these days we're going to hear a trumpet sound, and the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together in the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord. So I pray that that will stir you, because whether he's Lord in your life now and whether you confess it now, one of these days every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful he is your Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the power that we have through the name of Jesus, the power and authority over demons. I know we don't hear about this a lot, but it's real, and people do have devils. They do have them. We just don't hear about it too often or talk about it. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, we read a story about a man that lived in the Gadarenes, and this man was miserable. The Bible tells us that he lived in the mountains and the tombs, and that he cried out both day and night, and that he cut himself. He was miserable. When I read that, I read it a couple times. He lived in the tombs. It reminded me of a graveyard. He lived where death was. And so Jesus and the disciples are in a boat, and they're going to the other side, and they come to where this man is. And the Bible says that when he seen him, and this is Mark chapter 5, verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So we see that this man, he had the capability to run to Jesus and to worship him, but then this devil rises up and starts speaking through him. And Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And we besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. So the rest of the story is that Jesus cast those demons out. They went into the swine, and the swine was drowned. And the people didn't understand that. They didn't really like that. Then we'll go on to verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come in the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. What a testimony. He wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus made him stay there, and he made him testify. What a testimony. What a testimony. These people knew him. They knew him. The Bible says that he was so strong that nobody could restrain him. Every chain that was put on him, he broke loose from those chains. And the Bible says that Jesus changed him. He changed him. When the presence of the Almighty God came into his life, there was a difference. He became a new creature, and he became zealous for God and telling the great things that happened in his life. See, when Jesus comes into a life that is bound by sin, there are no more chains. Those chains are gone. He that the Son is set free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wanted to share this with you. It's just something the Lord gave me again. And I was praying and thinking about this. I thought about a couple years ago, I was at a ladies' conference, and it was packed, and the Spirit of God was moving, and we were all praying, and we were close up to the front, but there in front of me, there was several rows that were empty. Only one lady was standing there. And after I had prayed, and I was standing there, and the Lord told me to go pray for her. Well, I didn't know her. I didn't know her name, anything about her, but I knew God told me to pray for her. So I went up to her, and I asked her if she had the Holy Ghost. She said no. I asked her if she would like to receive the Holy Ghost, and she said yes. So I just kind of walked her through, you know, repentance and asking Jesus to forgive you of everything you've done. And she started to pray the prayer of repentance, and all of a sudden she started foaming in her mouth. And I knew right away she had devils. And so I started binding them in the name of Jesus, and probably about three was cast out. And some of the ladies from her church, seeing what was going on, they come running over and helping me pray with the power and the authority in Jesus' name, the only name that has authority to take dominion over those things. And there was six to eight of those that came out. And once she was freed, Once that soul was freed of those unclean spirits, she began to worship God. She was free to worship, and she began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance, and her whole countenance changed. And a couple times during that meeting, she came running up to me, thanking me for praying for her. And this is what she told me that really touched my heart, and I can't get away from it. She said, all the ladies that I came with, they went up to the front. They asked me if I wanted to pray, and she said, I did want to pray. But she said, I was paralyzed. I could not move. So she said, I just decided I would try to worship right where I was. But you see, the Almighty God that knows everything, Jesus Christ, came to her. And when he came to her, his presence came to her and freed her from all those devils and set her free. Hallelujah. 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 Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful we know a God like this that has all power? You see, no one could subdue that man that had all the demons, and no one could really help this lady and deliver her but Jesus. And when we come in contact with that one, we understand that he can do anything and everything, just like these ladies sung about tonight. There's something I hear a lot, and I hope that this will touch your heart. So many people we work with and try to get to come to church, and we ask them over and over, come to church, come with us. Jesus can change your life, come with us. And this is a lot of times what they'll say. I've got to work on myself. I've got to try to get good. I got to try to get things in order. But you see, you don't have to get good to come to God. Rather, you come to God just like you are. And when you come to God just like you are, he starts working in your life, and he starts helping you and making you have that good heart for him. You may be thinking right now, I need deliverance in my life. I have addictions. I have anger. I have bitterness, or maybe it's hurt. I have all these things, and I just can't get past it. Can I tell you, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, he can deliver you, and he will deliver you. Maybe it's deliverance from your past. I get so frustrated because people live in their past, and they think that they've done too much. Jesus doesn't get frustrated by that, though. He says, come on, come on, come to me, and I will help you. My father-in-law, what you don't know, is God touched him, and he was able to go into a VA hospital. He lived there for a year and a half. He couldn't, because of the stroke, he could not eat or drink. My husband went through red tape. We were able to go to the VA and baptize him in a whirlpool tub. So he had been baptized, but he had never received the Holy Ghost, and he had been there a year and a half. And one Sunday morning, and he kept saying, I've done too much, I've done too much. God will never save me, I've done too much. One Sunday morning, we were getting ready to come to Sunday school, and my husband called him on right before he came, and he said, Dad, he said, just checking on you, see how you're doing. And he said, son, he said, you going to church? And he said, yes. And he said, okay, when you get to church today, I want you to ask your Sunday school class to pray that God takes me or he heals me. He said, son, I can't keep living like this. I haven't got to eat or drink anything in a year and a half, and I don't want to live like this anymore. Well, that gripped our hearts again, because we knew God had started. We had been praying. God had started a work in his life. But we knew he needed the Spirit of God, the power of God. So my husband said, okay, Dad, I'll do it. Happened to be Brother Mike Wilkins' Sunday school class. He went in that class that morning, and he said, class, I only went the ones that had strong faith to pray with me. My dad has said to ask God to either heal him or take his life, because he can't live like this anymore. And he said, my dad's not saved. He said, would you please bind together with me and pray that God would heal my dad? We prayed. They prayed. My husband called him. I think it was on a Wednesday. It was a couple of days later. And my father-in-law picked up the phone at the VA. And he said, oh, son, I can't talk right now. I'm eating. And he slammed down the phone. And so my husband immediately thought, oh, no, no, they forgot he can't eat. He's going to aspirate. Oh, no. So he called back. But just before he called back, the Lord said, what did you pray for? what did you pray for? So he called back and he said, son, he said, God healed me. I can eat and drink anything I want. God healed me. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus did. So he was able, after a year and a half, to go home from that VA hospital. And once he was home, he told his wife, he said, I want to go to church. He went to Brother Connor's church, that church that I saw him go down those aisles. They hold about 1,700 people. It goes on a slant, and right behind the pulpit's just glass and beautiful mountains. He went down the aisle of that church that Sunday morning. He was there that Sunday morning. He had attended maybe a couple services, and he said he was sitting there, and he got to thinking, God, you healed my body. If you healed my body, you can save my soul. So he went down with that power and the authority that God was giving him, and right in the middle of preaching, God filled him with the Spirit of God, filled him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, if you're thinking I've done too much, you have not done too much. Oh, God wants to come to you, and I'm telling you, people that have testimonies like that can turn their world upside down. He started having cell group meetings in their home, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, and started having just precious times in that home. They tell me that he was such a prayer warrior that when he would pray, those prayers would go all through the vents in that home. It's a miracle. The greatest miracle we will ever receive is a soul that is saved by grace and delivered from grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you, God. You are still working in lives. You are still giving testimonies. You are still doing great things. So if you need deliverance of any kind, just call on the name of Jesus. Right now, we hear so much about anxiety and worry and fear of the unknown. I know what that's all about. We've been living that for 2.5 years. We don't know from one day to the next. But I'm telling you what, when you serve Jesus, the peace speaker, when we're human and those times will come, that will try to come on us, we have the power and we have the authority to call on the name of Jesus. And when we do, those things will leave. Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That is such a powerful scripture. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. If you've ever had a broken heart, Jesus can heal that broken heart. The ones that have been healed, you can testify of that. He preaches deliverance to the captive, those that are held captive, hostage to all these spirits and all these fears. You can be delivered by the Spirit of the Lord. He recovers sight to the blind, not only healing of the physical blindness, but also a spiritual blindness when he opens your eyes and allows you to see who he is by the revelation. And he also sets at liberty. He frees those that are bruised, those that are crushed down and so desperate. He will come and lift you up and carry you and protect you. Oh, we have the power to bind and loose things on the earth through the name of Jesus. Matthew 16 and 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The key is salvation. We know that. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But we also have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. We also have no more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. And if we are under the attack of the enemy, God commands us first to bind that spirit of attack. And then once we've done that, we are free to loose the Spirit of God to operate on our behalf. It just tells us, if you, whatever you bind shall be bound, and whatever you loose, you shall be loose. We do not have to walk around in fear, worry, or anxiety. We don't have to. This is a little personal for me, but I think a lot of people wear this. My husband's been sick for 2.5 years, and in the middle of the night, most nights, he wakes up, and he doesn't know who he is or where he is or who I am. And as soon as he wakes up, there's a fear that comes with that because he doesn't know anything. And I'll identify it. I'll identify that. And I won't say it too loud because I don't want to scare him. He already doesn't know me. But I'll say, fear, I bind you with the power and the authority in Jesus' name, and I loose a peace. And all of a sudden in that room, the peace of God comes in that room. Woo, and he can feel it. He'll say, what is that? That feels good in here. There are sometimes he'll say, who is that man standing there? He's all in white, and he's beautiful. Do you see him? God sends his angels, his ministering angels, to bring peace into our room. Is it real? Of course it's real. The Bible tells us that he will give his angels charge over us. He gives us those angels. We don't talk to them or pray for them. Pray to them. We ask God, and God sends them to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Take those negative thoughts captive. When the enemy of your soul, that attack, comes and says, you're never going to get away from your past, take that thought captive and say, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. When he comes and tries to say, you know, you just might as well give up. You might as well just give up. God's never going to heal you. Take that thought captive and say, I claim the word of God. He is my healer. He took those stripes for me. I claim it. I claim it. When he comes to you and he gives you any kind of attack, you understand that does not align with the word of God. You take that authority and you claim the word of God, the promises of God, and that enemy will flee from you. The biggest battlefield is in our mind. And why is it? We could be on fire for God. We could be living for God. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a thought comes. Where'd that come from? It's an attack of the enemy. And we have to take that thought and hold it captive and then bring it into subjection to the word of God, because he is lie. He's full of lies. He's a liar. But Jesus is truth. Identify it. Devil, you're a liar. Jesus, you're truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the power and authority to loose God's mercy, his anointing, his provision, his protection, his healing, his angels. We have the power and we have the authority to do it. We just have to be intentional about doing it, realizing there's power in this. There's power. Yes, there's power. Devils have power, but they don't have power like the Almighty God. The Word of God says they fear, they tremble, they leave when we mention the name of Jesus. Last year, we gave a lot of our ladies that was at our ladies' retreat a little bottle of this anointing oil. I've heard back from several of those ladies, one in particular, enemy coming against her, telling her all kinds of things are going to happen in her health. And at camp meeting, she found me and she said, Sister McGuire, I've taken that anointing bottle and I've anointed myself a couple times. It works. It works. It works. I challenge you right now, while we're still in our homes and I'm hearing all the good reports of things going on, take this anointing oil. If you have any olive oil or anointing oil, take it. Put it over the doorposts of your home. Put it on your children's pillow slips. Anoint your home because it symbolizes the Spirit of God, the protection of God. Oh, and there's something about it when you mix that with faith. Because God wants you to live an abundant life. He is coming soon. Yes, he is coming soon. But he hasn't come yet. So while we're still here on this earth, we need to be preparing our hearts, preparing our homes, and walking with the power and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, I ask right now that you would join us in prayer. Oh, God, I pray, Lord. I pray, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Just continue in prayer right now. God, you are present. You are omnipresent and omnipotent. That means your power is everywhere and you have all power no matter where we are right now. I thank you, Jesus. We claim that power because it's your power, Lord, and we know your name, and that power is greater than any other, and you've given us access to that power as your people. You've graced us with it, Lord. We claim it right now. Flow through your body. Flow through your body right now. Every believer right now, in the name of Jesus, you know what they need. You know the desires of their heart, the prayers that have come from their spirit. And Lord, you're going to respond to that in Jesus' name. And while we are not gathered together physically, we agree with our brothers and sisters. I'm going to ask you if you would just agree with brothers and sisters. Agree in the spirit. Agree according to the word of the Lord. God, I agree according to your promises. I agree according to the spirit of God. And while I cannot be by the side of those I'm agreeing with, your spirit is not only by their side, but in their life. I thank you, O God. I agree. I agree with your word. I agree with you. And I agree with whatever brothers and sisters are praying toward in your will and according to your plan. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We claim it. We claim it. We claim it in the name of Jesus. We claim it in the name of Jesus. We claim it in your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now? That's right. Hallelujah. It's a praise, and at the same time, it's a surrender. Oh, yes. I surrender to your power, Lord. I yield to your power, oh God, in my life and in the life of others that I am praying for and I'm praying with. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. We lift our arms and our hands to you, Lord, signaling that we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. God, cover every home right now. Every home of every member of our APC family and our guests that are with us right now. Hallelujah. You are no respecter of persons. There's no way we can be any respecter of persons because your power is for all of us. You said it was for all of us under the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. And God, I thank you, and you're fulfilling it. You're doing it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your power is being felt in remote places tonight. And it's being felt in metro areas like the St. Louis area. You are no respecter of locations nor persons. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Well, we have heard tonight the laws of God and the edicts of God laid out for us. These are his laws. Sister McGuire ministered and preached his word. Those are beliefs of hers and this church. But bigger than that, they are the precepts and the concepts of Almighty God that are forever settled. I thank God that we can have them laid out to us in apostolic ministry as we have tonight, and then not just laid out by a speaker or a preacher, but we can have them lived out and played out in our lives. Claim your household. One of the themes of tonight's message was our families and our households can be saved. It is not an accident. God is moving us. Some of us he has shoved us. Others he may be nudging us some more. But claim your household in the name of the Lord. Declare salvation for your family. You heard the testimony tonight. And that testimony is going to be duplicated in other lives, that God can save our families. Claim it. And then take and use the authority that God has given to us. I agree with Sister Sue. Sometimes we have failed to use all of the authority. And sometimes it's innocence on our part. We don't want to step into an area we shouldn't be stepping in. But we don't have to fear that. God has put that authority in us. And it's part and parcel of the experience that we have through His Spirit and by way of His Word. So take authority, and the Lord can change every life. That scripture about that man in the Gadarenes, one of the verses, it's verse 19, says that Jesus had compassion. We look at people and we may shake our head in unbelief that their life could be as it is. Or maybe unbelief that a change could happen in their life. But when Jesus looks, He has compassion. And we're striving in the APC family. It's more than our theme. It is our theme, but it's our desire. We want it to be our benchmark. And that is that we will see as Jesus sees. And He saw that man. And anybody else that needs deliverance, He sees with compassion. Thank the Lord for His Spirit. And once again tonight, we're finding out inside the church building and inside of our homes, the power of the Word and the power of the Spirit is the same. I want you to know tonight, we are praying for you. The leadership of this church is praying for you. And I know that you have friends and associates, but God is concerned about all of us. And we're in this very different and unique time. But God is concerned. He is. And the church is concerned. Because we are God's representatives. And so it's a no-brainer that we would be and should be concerned. And if you have needs, feel free to contact brothers and sisters in the family or contact the church and let us know if there's any way and what we can pray for and how we can respond. The church is concerned for you.